a lot of good things accomplished this year and a lot of positives all year long. And yet, as you mentioned over in the media lounge many times, like, you need more. And this is not where the group wants to be. How do you balance the disappointment of not being a playoff team with some of the really good things your group accomplished this year?
I think that's the coach's job. You have to sort of celebrate your successes or find reasons, you know, for optimism moving forward. But you also need to make the guys understand that we ultimately aren't where we want to be right now. So there has to be some adjustments on our side of things as a coaching staff. But over the course of the summer, our players need to take it upon themselves as well to make sure that this is the best summer they've ever had in regard to their conditioning and how they're going to come back. Because the way we started this year with rattling off a number of wins in a row, I think helped put us in a position to be right into it, right into the playoff race to the very end.
Yeah.
So we have to do the same thing when we come back. Like, we have to get off to a great start, and a lot of that falls upon our players and their commitment this summer.
When you take a look at the 82 games as a whole and the kind of, I don't know, the culture and the identity that you created, is that maybe the biggest thing that was accomplished for your group this year?
Yeah, well, I've mentioned it the last few times. Like, the foundation side of it for me is the biggest thing. So our team understands how they have to work now and how they have to play as a team on a nightly basis in order for us to have success. So if that part isn't there, then you're always kind of spinning your wheels. You might have a good game here or a tough game here. But when that is there and the guys understand what's expected of them all the time and they in the room start holding themselves accountable to that, then you just build from there where you can add different things to your game. So I'm excited about that part of it being there for us. I mean, you even look at the last game in LA, nothing on the line for us at that time. Lots of disappointment having been officially knocked out, yet the work ethic didn't change from our group in that game. And that to me was a sign that, okay, things have shifted.
Yeah.
And there is a different little foundation or level that our guys have established.
Because we hear all the time that, you know, one season doesn't necessarily carry over into the following season, but there's a lot of things that I think you want to carry over. Is it that simple? Like, is that culture and identity? Is it just a given that it is part of the equation to start next year? Or what goes into making sure that that does carry over into the following season?
Yeah, it's a given for the coaching staff, but it's something that we have to reinforce, like, over the course of the summer and when we get them back, because I was told as a young coach that you have to assume they know nothing daily.
Yeah.
So when they leave over the summer, they're going to forget everything. So it's up to us to make sure that they understand and they are reminded constantly about who we are, how we have to be, what makes us a good team. And then from that point on, we work with the players to try to build our game and find different areas where we can find the extra point that we may have needed to get ourselves in this year.
When you take a look at the season, you know, you have the great October, and then you every time that it felt like maybe the group had fallen back to the pack or the group was going to fall out of playoff contention, you found a way to get yourself back in. Mm. But how, as you go into next season, how do you, if you, you talk about a good start, how do you make sure that maybe there isn't those situations where you fall back and you're able to kind of maintain that good start a little bit more maybe than this year?
I think that's something for our coaches to find different areas where we can challenge the players. So, you know, you have to make it so the players understand that it's not acceptable for us to lose two games in a row. There's different things like that that we as a coaching staff have to find that our players believe in and grab onto, because once they do, then it runs. So you'll find yourself in situations where if you drop a game, that game coming up next is typically the hardest game a team's going to play because they don't want to drop two in a row because that's not who we are. So
yeah,
we have to find different things like that to help push our team along and challenge them to be better in those situations.
We're chatting with Ryan Huska, Flames head coach, joining us here in the Hot Stove Lounge. Little Flames talk on a Saturday. It's Pat Steinberg and Logan Gordon as well. Logo.
Ryan, I just wanted to ask you about that last stretch here that we've been, it's probably a month plus for you guys, mm-hmm. where, you know, the out-of-town scoreboard was, you know, such a big thing for you guys. You were 2 points back or you were 6 points back. How valuable was that time in your mind for this team to pick up those games and know what it's like, hey, there's 2 points on the line and we really need to come out of here with something in this game. How valuable are those for you, for your team, you think?
Couple different ways to look at that, I guess. One, very valuable. You want your guys playing in games like that, but also I want them to realize the game in November or the lead that we gave up in a certain game costs you. So it doesn't matter really when it is. You have to play every game like it's a game seven. You know, when you look at our team, and a lot's going to be made of the 14 overtime losses. Excuse me. A lot's going to be made of the Anaheim game where we gave up the lead, the Edmonton game where we gave up the lead. You have to find a way to finish those games. And that doesn't matter if the game's in October or if the game's on April 15th. You have to understand or learn to treat every situation like it's the most important one. And I think when that mindset really sinks in, you're still going to find yourself losing the odd one of those games, but you're going to win more than your share, I would say.
I'd love to go back for a second and just sort of ask you about, you know, the Four Nations break and the ability that gave you guys to maybe reset as a coaching staff. Obviously, for the players that didn't go, it's a good chance to rest your body in the regular season. But for you guys, you have a chance there to maybe in-season evaluate and make changes that maybe you wouldn't always have as the regular season goes. It seemed like a lot of things for you guys maybe took a turn in the right direction after that.
Penalty kill wise, for sure, that was one thing that changed for us. I thought our penalty kill was much more connected after the Four Seasons break, but I do feel like that break came at the right time for us. Mental refresher time for the players. Like, there's certain players that we relied on for heavy minutes this year and in long periods of time. Eventually you get worn down and you don't play the same way because you physically can't. Your body hasn't recovered the way you need to recover. And guys like Mackenzie Weegar or Rasmus Anderson, that break, even though Raz played the one game over there, I still feel like it was a break where it allowed them to get the energy back again. And you take a little time away from the game, it refreshes you mentally. And I think when you come back, you're much more motivated to help the team win. So I think that's the biggest reason probably why our team played its best hockey of the year the last 2 months. And system-wise, you know, we adjusted a little bit more, as we mentioned in that media. Penalty kill for sure, but also a little bit harder getting to the net to try to capitalize on some opportunities to score a little more.
We hear a lot on the outside and talk about systems and how it affects games. How fluid would you say a system is during a year, and I guess how you have to adjust as your team goes and based on what they show you on a night-to-night basis?
Good question on systems. Like, I feel like systems are a huge part of it. I think the teams that are detailed and they play a real good system are the teams that win. That's the first thing that I will say. Now, the second thing I will say, there isn't one system that's better than the other. And a lot of times a team's success comes down to the way the players play within it. So if your guys aren't competitive on the puck, or if they're not looking to win foot races to a loose puck, if they're not getting themselves to the proper positions defensively, doesn't matter what system you play. It's the teams that play the hardest and the best within that system. And that's really what we tried to get the guys to understand this year. You skate all the time. You make sure that you're competitive in the puck battle, and you have to be thinking of the net fronts as the most important area of the ice. And then from there, once you grab hold of those, similar to the foundation thing we talked about, everything takes off from there. So systems, whether you play a 1-2-2 or a 1-3-1, it's how the players play within it is what separates teams.
Just the last one for me, and I know we're talking about a team that wanted to take that extra step and still be playing hockey right now, but is there something that you can hang your hat on this year that you're proud of, that you can say that you really accomplished this year as a coaching staff, that Ryan Huska is going to look back on this season really proud of?
The one thing I would say for me is I think I've always wanted people to think of the teams that I was a part of as you do not want to play that team. They are going to work. So whether a team's coming in off the road and they're like, oh, we got to play the Calgary Flames, I think that's the reputation that we started to create this year. So maybe that, if I was to answer that question, that's probably the number one thing that I'm proud of, is we have a reputation now, and work is at the front of it, and we have to keep going with that. So next year becomes harder because I think the expectations change a little bit. both within our room, but with the way our opponents are going to think of us. It's not like, it's the Calgary Flames. It's like, boys, it's the Calgary Flames.
Yeah.
So we have to make sure that we're prepared for a change in expectations, both internally and from the teams that we're playing against.
Ryan, all year you talked about how, you know, there's kind of one way that the group needs to play, and you can tell pretty early on if your team is going to be ready for that. And we could probably still, over 82, count on one hand how many times your group didn't kind of have it like that. Is that status quo for next year, or do you make changes to the style and some of the things that you're wanting to see for the group next year?
The work, the skating part of it, status quo, that's got to stay the same. Now, there's, depending on personnel, there's different things that you can do within that, and that goes back to the systems point.
Right.
Like, if you don't have the work, or if the guys aren't skating the way they did this year, no matter what change we try to bring in, it's not going to work. So based on personnel, if you get a number of defensemen that are really fast and puck-moving guys, like let's say Zane Parekh's able to make our team, Zane will change the game a little bit with the way he sees it and thinks it. Like, Zane plays the game a little bit like a rover, where he's up the ice a fair bit, almost, you know, on line rushes more than our forwards are at times. So there's different things that come into play there. And those are areas that can add to your team. They can subtract from your team if the work, if the details, if the structural side is not there. So depending on personnel and depending on where we are with our team, you can always make some changes that as a coaching staff we feel will be advantageous to us.
Ryan Huska is with us. From the beginning, you talked about those six turned into seven, the seven leaders that you had inside that group, some Stanley Cups, and been there, done that. Now that you've had a training camp and a full 82-game season to work with that group, like how highly do you think of that veteran core and what they were able to do to make this season what it was for your team?
Yeah, I think the world of those guys. Like, I really do. I love them all. They're for a coach, if you don't have the buy-in or maybe the belief from those key core guys, good luck along the way. And I felt like we most definitely had that from our players that I leaned on. And the one thing I really liked about them, and I mentioned before, is we talked about Hubie giving a little bit of himself up for the betterment of the team. Well, they all did that. And I had good relationships with all of them. They'd come in at different times. What about this idea? Or I think we should have a day off, or I think we should skate today. I think there was good communication between us all. So I hold those guys in high regard. And our team doesn't make the strides it made this year without the work that those guys put in behind the scenes in our dressing room, because our message only goes so far. We can have a team meeting, but as soon as we leave, if two or three guys are like, these guys don't know what they're talking about, you don't go anywhere. But those guys were in our corner, and they believed in what we were trying to do, and now they're a big part of where our team's going to go.
How much of that did we see even on Thursday in Game 82? And you know, I thought it was really interesting to just to hear from the different guys about, yeah, we're gutted. That nobody wanted to be on that plane on Wednesday because the season had ended. But and yet, Michael Backlund, Mackenzie Weegar, Blake Coleman, Ryan Lomberg, it was like, hey, hold on a second. We've got four guys making their debut. We got to make this a big night for them. We got to suck it up and shift our focus. Like, did that speak just a little bit more to what you've got in terms of that group?
Totally. And one that maybe you guys haven't heard, I don't know what the guys talked about in their media avails, but Jonathan Huberdeau was a little bit banged up after the game at home here. And we as a staff made a decision that he wasn't going to play. And he came to me and said, I need to go. I need to play because they need to make sure they see me competing hard the right way. And for me, again, another sign like we are on the right track when you have a player like that saying that's important for him to go. And the only reason he didn't go is because we said, no, you're not coming.
Huh.
And that stuff matters. It really matters when you have that in your dressing room, a game that means nothing. I mean, you look at Rasmus, too. Like, there's another guy that had a broken foot and didn't complain, wasn't on the ice for pregame skates. His game falls off a little bit because of that, but he was there because he felt it was important for people to see him sacrificing a little bit to try to help the team win. So they're great guys, and they get it. And maybe that's the most important thing that the 6+1 had going for them.
Yeah.
They get it.
It seemed like, look, there's a lot of talk about scoring or lack of scoring this season, but it seemed like down the stretch, month of April, like you went 6-1-2 in the month of April, and seemed like maybe the goal scoring was able to take a little bit of a step. Did you see that? And if so, what were the reasons behind it?
I think it did take a step. And early on in the year, like when you looked at our quality of chances that we were generating, that you call them high dangers, I think is the word everybody uses, we were near the bottom of the league in what we were creating. But as our season went on, that changed for us, where I think with our in-house analytics, we were at 12 in the league. And a lot of that had to do with us going to the net harder. You know, and I think certain times we tried to make, as silly as it sounds, a fancier play, and we ended up with no chances. But now, the second portion of the year after Four Nations, there was a lot more shot volume to steal from Daryl. There was a lot more pucks and bodies going to the net. And off of those rebounds or wasted shots, whatever you want to call them, we created some high danger chances where a puck would move from like one side of the ice to the other side of the ice, which increases your scoring chance. Danger, and we became a much, you know, more dangerous team offensively, and we were scoring more goals. So sometimes players don't like to hear that, just throw it at the net mentality, but for our team, the way we are right now, that is a style that helped us, and it's something that we'll look at over the summer to try to find different ways where we can increase those opportunities without taking away from part of our game that has to be really good still, and that's the checking side of it. So we're going to go back and look at all that stuff, but I do think that was one of the big reasons, was just more throwing pucks to the net, making sure players were going there. And I mentioned Adam Klapka, two of his goals he just drove right to the far post, and that's the type of pass that makes it a high danger scoring chance, where you side to side, or like some people call it that royal road, whatever you want to call it, that puck moves across there. That's how you generate more offense, and I think our team did a better job of that in the second portion of the year.
Just quickly going back to L.A., I know there's been a lot of talk about Zane, and understandably so, but, you know, for Adar and for Hunter and also for Sam Mortons, you know, some of the guys, especially Hunter and Sam playing pro hockey this year, what was it like for you to see them make that first jump? And did you just see a noticeable jump from them, knowing that they'd played pro hockey in the A going into their first NHL game?
You could see it. I mean, from
little things maybe.
From Adar, I felt like at times there were stretches where he looked a little overwhelmed on the ice, where the other two guys didn't. Excuse me. Like, having the chance to play in the American League is such a great league, and it's so important for the development of a player like Dustin Wolf. He's been down there too long. You got to get him up. Well, no. He needs to be down there, and he needs to be working on his game. No different than these guys. So I thought both those guys handled themselves really well. Sam works very hard. He's a thinker on the ice. He wants to be in the right position all the time, and his feet are always moving. And with Brew, the one strength that he has in his game is he's got poise and composure with the puck, where he makes a good first pass. And I thought even against a team that can skate with some more size, he was able to do that, and he handled himself very well. So I was excited that all four of those guys had impact in the game. And it's a good sign for our team moving forward.
How would you evaluate your staff? Just knowing that you had some change this year, and I'm sure that's as big a part of your job, you know, working with them, preparing guys on a day-to-day basis. How did you guys feel you worked as a unit this year?
Really well. I liked our group. And unfortunately, we had a health issue with Brad Larson's family, and we missed him. We missed him dearly along the way. He's such a valuable resource for me, for one. But also for the rest of our staff because of the experience that he has. But I would say that Trent came in a tougher situation, took over the penalty kill, and I thought he did an excellent job. The one thing I like about Trent is he's a little bit, he's got great energy about him. And sometimes it's off-the-wall energy, which is important in a room. Like, you want your players to wonder what he's going to say or what he's going to do next at times, because it brings a smile to a player's face. Sometimes he catches them off guard with a comment. But he was really confident in his ability to come in and just be who he was and coach the penalty kill the way it needed to be coached. So he looked at it, took some time, figured out what he wanted to do with it, and I think he made some great adjustments along the way, and he fit in seamlessly with our staff. And part of that probably it comes from the relationship that we do have with our American League team. They have great coaches down there where we're all comfortable with each other. And Trent came in and he just fit the role seamlessly in a tougher situation.
Just a few more with the head coach, Ryan Huska, with us here on Flames Talk. Husk, you've been a head coach at all the different levels. And now 2 years under your belt as an NHL head coach. So with two seasons, how do you feel Ryan Huska is a different head coach on April 19th, 2025 than before you jumped in as an NHL head coach?
The one thing that I thought about this as the season went on a little bit this year, in certain games, like your first year, you're living and dying off so many things on the bench. Like, you're just all the time, you're jacked up. Where this year on the bench, you're a little bit more reserved at times. So you're actually seeing the things that matter more or easier on the ice. So you're able to make those adjustments. I mean, the one thing I never had to worry about this year was the work ethic of the players. So that was automatically never on the table for me. So it became more about areas that we can fix and adjust during a game, whether that's some player, he's not at his best today, we can make a change on that line, or if in between periods or on the benches, we can adjust a system. So I feel like it was almost taking a little bit of a step back, maybe bring my emotional level down a touch behind the bench to allow me to see things a little bit better than your first year when you're so on edge all the time that there's a tendency to miss the odd thing. And I felt I was much, much more composed on the bench this year than the prior.
You've got a GM in Craig Conroy who is actively trying to make this group a younger team. You've got some really important veterans that we've talked about. How has that been, managing at the same time guys who, like Nazem Kadri and Blake Coleman and Ryan Lomberg, that these guys are wired and more are wired to win Stanley Cups and all they care about is winning, and you've got Matt Coronato and Dustin Wolf and guys who are just getting their feet wet in the NHL. How has that been to manage kind of the different sides of that?
I think if we didn't have a good group of like Blake and Naz, if they weren't great guys, it becomes challenging for a coaching staff. But with how they were connected as a team, it wasn't that big of a deal. And I think the older guys on our team are smart enough to realize that this younger guy, Matt Coronato, who is this young guy coming in here? He's a pretty good player. So if I'm going to use Naz, Naz will see a player like that and be like, this guy can help me win. That's the way the older guys look at it. So if they see someone coming in that, yep, this guy's going to help us, they bring him right in. And that's what our 6+1 did. And they recognize the importance of what a young guy brings to our team, whether it's Marty Pospisil's speed or if it was Adam Klapka's size and his ability to go right to the net. They recognize when a player has something that's going to help them win, so they pull them right in right away.
Yeah.
It helps make the team stronger right away.
To kind of bring it all full circle, you talked about the balance of the good and the frustration. What do you get the sense from your players is? Like, are you happy with the conversations you've had with guys that, like, hey, the goal was to make the playoffs, and missing is unacceptable. We don't want to accept not being a playoff team. Do you like where their heads are at coming out of the exit interviews and coming out of this season?
Yeah, I do. And I don't, to be quite honest with you, Pat, I don't get into a ton with them right now. I call them a lot, or I'll see them in the summer where I can have better conversations with them. But a lot of the short conversations I did have was just not quite good enough. So how can we get better? And that to me is a good sign. So you can break it down and look at it. Like, how hard is it to get one more point a month? One more point a month. Are you kidding me? Like, we can find a way to do that, but we all have to commit to it. So they're all on board. They know that it's there, but there's more work that needs to be done.
Are you a guy that will be watching hockey starting tonight, or do you have to take a break from it? Like, what's...
No, I watch.
Okay.
I watch. Like, I do the playoff bracket in my house, too.
Okay.
I wish the Flaming Sea was in there. But I watch because there are so many things that you can pick up from watching these teams that are in there. And I think we did that last year. We did a good job as a staff of taking one of the teams that each coach has a team they have to watch and follow during the playoffs. Then they have to break them down to the rest of our staff during a meeting. And you can steal things from some of the better teams. There's a reason why these teams are in. So it would be foolish of us not to watch with a coaching eye to see if we can take the things that allow these teams to separate from the rest of the pack, and we can try to incorporate some things into our game.
Ryan, appreciate the time today, but also all season. Like, you're extremely giving of your time. You spend way too much time in this room.
That's for sure.
The only person who should spend that much time in this room is me. So
I think you spend way too much time in this room.
I do.
But I would say, like, you guys are the best. You really are. Your whole group, all of you, the way you cover our team. On the positive nights, you are there for us. The nights where we're terrible, you don't sugarcoat things. So we feel like you say it the way it is. And I think that's important for us. And all of our players appreciate that as well. And having you guys a part of our journey along the way, too, has been important for us. So thank you guys for the way you are.
Thank you, Ryan. Thanks for everything this year.
Okay. Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, guys.